This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. And away we go. How are you all doing? You have got me, J. Lewis Mills, here on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I hope you all had a great week this week. Here in the U.S., we were celebrating this last weekend. We were celebrating Veterans Day. I will say I am one of those Americans that does understand what the silent demonstration the National Football League players are doing. I do understand that it does not have anything at all to do with the military. So I would like to say thank you to all of the military service men and women who have gone over and fought for the freedoms of people like myself to be able to have a talk show where I come on and I have guests that come on and give our opinions on different things going on in our culture today. So I am very appreciative for our military. I am very respectful of our military, and I do believe we have one of the best militaries in the world. So kudos to you all. Okay. So last week, I was so very honored to have my friend Amy Brenneman on, and we were discussing the Harvey Weinstein issue. I really feel like, you know, we just barely scratched the surface. So I do look forward to Amy coming back and us being able to get a little deeper into that and other conversations of Hollywood. But this week, just keeping on with the controversial Hollywood series, let's just go ahead and call it that, I have another friend of mine who I can honestly call a friend. He had me on his show, On the Rocks, which you can catch on the UBN network as well as iHeartRadio. He had me on his show when, while Heartbeat was still filming, and we got a chance to talk about Heartbeat, and he's a great person to know. I'm so happy to have him as a friend. I would like to bring him into the conversation because this week we are going to be talking about Kevin Spacey and what Kevin Spacey did, and you know, the situations that are going on with him. And I felt like, you know, I had Amy on last week. She was, you know, she is a pretty prominent person in the Hollywood world, let's just say the Hollywood world. And I believe my friend Alexander, he is a prominent figure in the homosexual community. As well, he is a performer and an entertainer in this town. So Amy wore four hats last week. This week, I am only asking Alexander to wear two. I would like for his opinion to come from the place of his community, as well as I would like for his opinion to come from the place of a performer. So having said all of that, why don't you come on in, Alexander? It is so great to have you, sir. Thank you very kindly for doing this with and for me.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I hope you're ready.
Yes, yes. Oh, you know me, man. I am absolutely ready. Let's get right to it.
Well, I have to tell you, I didn't just wear two hats. I wore two hats and my sassy pants. So I hope your listeners can stand that.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, sir. We are going to have conversation. Here we go. I got the vodka in hand. Here we go.
Yes. Everything is better with vodka, unless you're sober, and then thank you for driving me home.
Yes, exactly. So let's talk about, there's so many places that I could start. Let me first ask, when you first heard this story, what was your initial, before hearing any of the details, what was your initial reaction, and how did your reaction change once you did hear the details?
So my first reaction was, this bitch, you know, and talking about Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey news is not new to the LGBT community, so it didn't surprise anybody, but it was literally, this bitch, and then now it's changed to, this major bitch. Is that professional enough for you?
Yes, it is, actually. In this situation, it absolutely is. Now, you say that people in the LGBTQ community...
LGBT-LMNOP-QRS-TUV, yes. Campbell Fisk going on right now.
You say that you know, his lifestyle was something that was known when, you know, it seems as though there's a lot of people that are saying, whoa, I didn't even know Kevin Spacey was gay. So how did it make you feel as a gay man to hear his, what he wants to call an apology, when he was accused of sexual assault and he said that it was a drunken time and, by the way, I'm gay? What's that about?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I'm sure the mainstream did not know about Kevin Spacey because, let's face it, he never was a sexual heartthrob in the movies, in the film. He played a straight father, husband, brother, whatever, but he was never the big sexual heartthrob. So his sexuality wasn't really the biggest thing you thought of when you saw Kevin Spacey. I mean, look at him. You know, he's not a pretty man. So I believe that a large population of the mainstream did not know about his sexuality. I'm talking about my experience being in the entertainment community. Kevin Spacey has taken his boy toys, and I mean boy toys, above 18. He's always had his entourage, whether he's gone to the awards ceremony, whether he's gone to a film premiere, he has always been accompanied by a younger person that has been his date for the evening. So, you know, just like Leslie Jordan's character on Will and Grace, you know, his business associate. And so it was no shock. In fact, the biggest Kevin Spacey, or the whole Kevin Spacey feeling, the biggest slap in the face started when he hosted the Tony Awards and he made, I don't know how many jokes about being in the closet and gay jokes during his hosting time at the Tonys and the Tony Awards. We know represents the Broadway community. The Broadway community has a very large portion from the LGBT community and allies. So that was a huge slap in the face. We know he's gay. He knows he's gay. And so he's going to make a joke about it, that being in the closet is funny. It's not funny in today's day and age, especially in today's current administration. It's not funny being in the closet. It's not funny being ashamed of your sexuality, whether you're gay, straight, or questioning. It's not funny. So that started all that. We knew he was a bullshitter. There's other names in Hollywood that everybody knows is gay. We know about their partners at home. We know about their secret affairs. We know about the boys that they have, boys, men, that they have come over that sign non-disclosure agreements. This just happens. And I am at the thought, and I do not represent a portion of my community, I don't think you have to out anybody. I don't think that you have to be out yourself if you're not ready to come out. But don't fight against the community either. And when it's your time to come out, if you're outed or whatever, then you have to accept it graciously. But you said it best, and there's so much going on. The whole Kevin Spacey situation is such a pond of murky water. And I want to be very clear, we have three different things going on. We have him being gay is a totally separate issue than pedophilia, which is anybody that involves themselves with anybody that's a minor. And so technically, I think that's 17 and younger. Once you're 18, fine. But pedophilia is a separate issue than being gay. Also, what is a separate issue is being a sexual predator in terms of being a rapist or sexually harassing people. These are three separate issues. Pedophilia is a disease. Some people act on it and some people don't. But sexual harassment and being a sexual predator, that exists, gay, straight, old, young. There are creepy yes. people out there. And, you know, and to be honest, I've been a creepy person myself. When you have a few drinks in you, you see somebody hot, you know, you're going to say some comments. These are three separate issues, and this idiot has mixed them all in, and he's confused the United States and the world as to what it is that we're talking about. What is the issue here? The same thing with Harvey Weinstein. What is the real issue here?
For me, and I mean, of course, I can't speak for everyone, but for me, the real issue is, and I can't necessarily say that I've been that creepy guy that when I get drinks in me, like alcohol for me isn't liquid courage. I'm already a down low, mellow, not down low, but I'm already a mellow kind of guy in the first place. So, you know, alcohol just makes me more mellow. But I have seen other people, you know, that alcohol will turn them into a different person. But the subject that for me that disappoints me about Kevin Spacey is the fact that he approached males that were under the age of 18. As you said, at the age of 18, for me, all bets are off. I'm not saying, and please don't anybody think that I'm saying, if you're 18, it's okay to sexually harass you. That's not what right. I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, if you are at least 18, if someone wants to make an advance towards you, if they do it in the right way, then I'm saying that is okay, whether there's alcohol involved or not. But whether there is alcohol involved or not, and you approach people that are under the age of 18, I don't give a flying floozy fuck who you are. I have a problem with that. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care if you are a cougar mom and you go for all your son's friends. If they're under the age of 18, then you're sick. So for me, the issue is the fact that he was going for underage people, and then the fact that, as you said, you know, at the Tony Awards, he was making all these jokes about being in the closet, and it seemed as though he tried to keep himself as separate from the gay community as he could. But yet, in his explanation, in my opinion, as trying to get some type of sympathy, he said, "I'm gay." Now, there were some, I don't remember exactly which news, I think it was NBC News, or so there was some news outlet, I should know what it is, but there was some news outlet that almost bought that. They almost bought into the gay thing, because one of their headlines was Kevin Spacey's emotional coming out and saying that he's gay, and it wasn't until you got halfway into the article where there was anything mentioned about him doing something wrong. So he did almost get away with that. So my two issues are the fact that he was messing with younger boys and the fact that he tried to play the sympathy card by saying, "Oh, by the way, I'm gay."
And I'm so glad that you differentiated that, because I just had this conversation today. You know, it's still a hot topic. You know, we've moved on to other celebrities that are being outed, not in terms of their sexuality, but in terms of allegations. Yeah. But this is still a really hot button, and I'm so glad you said it. It's a different subject, and it's a different mentality that we're talking about under 18-year-olds. Above 18-year-olds, it happens. It's not right. It's not condoned, but it happens. If somebody makes a pass at you, you say no thanks. You walk away or whatever. But you are extremely right in this, and that it's a whole separate subject. Now, I will let you and your listeners know, in the LGBT community, it's not, younger boys really, because being abandoned from their own family or because of separate issues, especially in LA, everybody wants to be famous.
Yes.
There is a faction of younger boys that do like to mix with older men, and they take on that affection. And so I think that that is more prevalent in the gay community than it is in the straight community. So the boundary is very watery. Now, we're talking about Kevin Spacey made a pass at somebody who was 14. Now, mm-hmm. if you can see, if you know who Anthony Rapp is, he still looks like he's 14. So it's not like he ever looked like he was more mature. I have met some 18-year-olds that I would put them in their mid-20s just for many different reasons. Mm-hmm. So 14 is totally different than somebody that's 17 in the gay community. Not that it's right at all. Once you know somebody's age, then, you know. But there are boys that find themselves invited to parties. There are boys who make themselves available, who flirt, that are underage. And so that is a very, very murky water as well.
But there are also, and just to kind of give the straight side of that comment you just made, you know, there are women. I made the comment with Amy last week. It has nothing to do with J. Lewis Mills. It has nothing to do with me believing all of a sudden I became this ultimately attractive guy. But just because I was on television, if I was the kind of guy that went for the one night stands and thought that was a cool thing, I would be living a happy life. So I say that to say there are women that will see a guy as opportunistic just as much as what it sounds like these younger guys will see a gay man as opportunistic. But just because they are there doesn't mean you have to lay down with them. Like, just because somebody would have been willing to sleep with me because they saw me on television doesn't mean I should have done it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. No, it totally makes sense. I get messages every day, or if I'll do an appearance, I just came back from emceeing Palm Springs Pride. I get messages from Instagram, Facebook, up-and-coming artists, hey, sexy, hey, handsome, and of course, they want to be on the radio show, and that's all it is. And so, to your point, yes. I mean, it's dangerous, and if you are weak at all, or if you are sexually addicted, which is what Kevin Spacey is now saying, then you need to get help. And, you know, just like Kevin Spacey says, oh, God, you know, I'm gay, you know, now he's saying that he's a sexual addict, and now he's getting the help. The first time that he blacked out from alcohol and didn't know what happened the night before, and if there could have been somebody else involved that he harassed, that is the point that he should have gotten help. And he could have gotten help in a very quiet way and then gone about his career, but he did not. He waited to get help until now, until he needs to for PR.
Absolutely. And I don't want to muddy the waters myself, and I hope that no one takes this bait that Kevin Spacey is giving, but there again, it is one thing to be a sexual addict and have a problem. It is a whole different animal to be a sexual addict to underage teens.
Yes,
sexual addict. So I don't want it to just be left at sexual addict, because there are going to be some people out there that say, see, these sexual addicts, they'll go for anything. It's just the sex. They don't care about age. They don't care about color. They don't care about size. And that's not true. So I want to make that clear as well. If Kevin Spacey is coming out saying he is a sexual addict, he needs help, then that is just a second attempt at a smokescreen. If Kevin Spacey would have come out and said, I'm a sexual addict, I have a problem with wanting to have sex with younger men, because look, again, this is Kevin Spacey. I'm pretty sure there's more than one 21-year-old and over man that would love to have sex with Kevin Spacey. Do I think he's attractive? No, but I'm not into guys, so there's that too.
Well,
but
honey,
I'm pretty sure
we're into
just
guys
because
I don't think he's attractive.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm saying people that aren't in this industry, even if he went to some Starbucks in Podunk, Minnesota or somewhere.
Yep.
And saw some cute 21, 22, 24-year-old guy. This is Kevin Spacey. This is a celebrity. Kevin Spacey could do very well for himself. if he was a sexual addict just by being with people of above age or of age. But you, it's more than just a problem with sexual addiction when you're going for or your target age is that of someone that is as young as he's going for. So
well,
I
no,
think
but,
that
but,
has
but to also be true. But also in his defense, all of the allegations, and I think there's 15 now total, only one of them from Anthony Rapp is from an under 18-year-old. There was a kid that his mom came out. He was 18 at the time. All the other ones have been in their young 20s. And we're talking about people that are accusing him from the theater that he worked at that just got, that just fired him from set from House of Cards, from set from movies. They have all been in their early 20s. So the only allegation from somebody under 18 is from Anthony Rapp.
Okay. Thank you very kindly. I stand corrected a little bit. I'm still going to say, even if there's just one, one is too many.
Right, which I totally agree. And again, you do not get a 14-year-old confused with somebody that's 18 or over. You just do not. And
no.
Alcohol, you know, can only be used as an excuse. But then the day after, you get yourself help because, you know, you could be in real trouble and also endanger someone else. And again, that has nothing to do with being gay. I have had some people in my life that that dealt with pedophilia, and to them, the disease overtook whether it was into boys or girls or whatever. That's a whole separate disease that mm-hmm. is, you know, just like you said, it's a whole issue. Now, Kevin Spacey is at the Meadows, which is that 45-day stay he's paying $58,000 for. We don't know if he's there for sexual addiction. We don't know if he's there for pedophilia. We don't know what he's there for other than he's, quote-unquote, getting help.
And, well, whatever help he's getting, I hope it does help him. Here's a two-part question. Do you think Kevin Spacey will make it back? And do you think there are other prominent figures, whether it's producers, directors, or actors in the business, who will not necessarily be outed because of this, but do you think there's other people who are going to be, we're going to be hearing about the same situation with?
You know, I mean, everything you're saying is exactly what people are talking about on a daily basis. The conversation I had today was, you know, Kevin Spacey, his career is over. He was replaced in the Ridley Scott film. Christopher Plummer is going in. They're having to reshoot all of his scenes to the tune of millions of dollars. Now,
yes.
If Kevin Spacey had been accused and found guilty of actual rape, I think that's 100% yes. You know, get him out of the movies, get him out of the TV show. But he's accused of groping people and harassing people. With Anthony Rapp, I'm not condoning it in any sense, but he made a pass. Anthony Rapp said no, and that was the end of it. Kevin Spacey did not follow through and rape anybody that we know of now. He was not mm-hmm. convicted of raping anybody that we know now. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back in time a little bit. Roman Polanski, we know
yes.
that he slept with a minor. We know for a fact he was not allowed back in the country because we know that that's what he did. He continues in the industry. He continues. His films are talked about as huge pieces of American history. Woody Allen, we know that he slept with a younger person in his own family, somebody that he adopted. He is making films left and right. Kate Winslet just made a film, and people asked her, you know, why are you doing this? And she says, well, it's not my business, and I don't know really what went on. I'm here to make a movie. How is that different than Kevin Spacey, who hasn't raped anybody? That's my question. The number two movie is it's that dad movie. I forget. It's with Mark Wahlberg and
Daddy's Home 2.
Yes. Who is it's number two film right now, and who plays one of the father's fathers is Mel Gibson. We forget
yeah.
what happened years ago. What Mel Gibson did was pretty damn bad. Number one, he was drunk driving. He could have killed himself. He could have killed somebody else. That in itself is terrible. Mm-hmm. Number two, his homophobic, his racist rant, everything. He is not a good person in my eyes. Yet
true.
He's back on track. And there was a time that, you know, he was Hollywood deaf, but now he's back on track. Like I said, Woody Allen and making movies, everybody seems to ignore it. Dustin Hoffman has been accused of sexual allegations, just like Kevin Spacey. But because Dustin Hoffman is likable, it's being brushed away. One of the producers that he works with a lot said, oh, you know, it's just him joking. He taps everybody on the ass or whatever. He was at an award show, I think, 2 weeks ago, and they applauded him when he walked out on stage in solidarity against these allegations. So it is so dangerous as to almost like the Red Scare. Now it's the sexual allegation scare. So should Kevin Spacey be punished to the extent that he's being punished? If there's actual no rape, once you're a rapist, you're done in my book. What he's being accused of is being a pervert, being a salacious old man, but I have not heard of any counts, and I could be wrong because everything changes every day.
Yeah,
so
it does.
Should he deserve to come back? If he's gone, not that I like him as a person, because I've heard atrocious stories as to his personality, besides sexual, just he's just an asshole to work with.
I've
but
heard that
he
too.
Deserve, yeah, but does he deserve to work? You know, he's a disgusting man in Hollywood, and unfortunately, Hollywood is not a corporation. There's no HR that you can go to. There's no set of rules in Hollywood. You know, every set you're on is a different environment. And unfortunately, this is not new. The casting couch is not a joke made out of nothing. And
do you think it was wrong? Do you think it was wrong for CAA to drop him? And do you also think because such a powerful agency like CAA dropped him, do you think that's another reason why I personally think it'll be hard for him to come back? Because he had some pretty powerful people turn their disassociate themselves with him. Now, I don't know if that's just for a time or if that's permanent, but, you know, it still happened. I don't think Woody Allen's reps dropped him when he was going through sleeping. What was her name? Soon Yi, his foster daughter, or his adopted daughter. I don't think he lost his rep. I don't think he lost his reps. I wasn't around.
And here's the biggest difference: is Hollywood is now very, very in tune to diversity and women's equality in film, and I think that's the only reason why this is such a hot button. Woody Allen did what he did, and people are like, eh, whatever, men control Hollywood. There is a power shift that's changing with diversity. This next year, who's being contended for Oscars is a huge percentage of female directors and Latino-directed or produced films. We know last year at the Oscars, the African-American community had a great presence. So there is a shift, and that's why it's a hot button. Nobody gave a crap years ago. Which is awful, but that just shows you how in tune. So maybe Hollywood will be changing in that this is not normal behavior, but it is normal to think that a big Hollywood producer is going to make passes or make deals with actors and actresses that are up and coming. Here's the thing about CAA dropping.
Yeah.
And you know this as much as anything. One day you're hot, and the next day, if your project falls through or whatever, people back away.
Yes.
CAA is not being morally responsible. They are PR. Everything in Hollywood is done for PR. Look at Britney Spears. When Britney hit the market, she was the hottest young thing. But we loved, the media loved, her listeners loved. TMZ loved to see her meltdown, and boy, did we kick her to the curb. We kicked her so far low, and we loved every minute of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then she's back on track. And how many stars have we done this? We love to kick our idols down, and then we love to rebuild them. I bet in 10 years, Kevin Spacey's going to emerge an older, gentler, kinder man, whether it's sincere or not, and I think that we're going to have moved on to something else, and that's just the state of Hollywood. And I really don't think that he should be losing all of this because he's a pervert, and I could be totally wrong in this. You know, I've had my own instances where people have made passes, and I say no thank you, or push them away, or run out the room, and then it's done. I've never been raped, thank God. And I think rape is on a different level. I don't know. I think what's happening to Kevin Spacey might be a little too drastic.
Do you think if we wouldn't have heard about Harvey Weinstein so many weeks before, and then we heard about Kevin Spacey, do you think Kevin Spacey is going through what he's going through because we heard of what Harvey Weinstein did? Like, if the Harvey Weinstein story would have never come out, do you think Kevin Spacey would be? And I don't think he's being persecuted, but I'm just going to use the word persecuted. Do you think that Kevin Spacey would be persecuted to this degree?
No, not at all. Anthony Rapp would have come out with a statement. Number one, people would have been like, "Who's Anthony Rapp again?"
Who's Anthony Rapp?
He's on the news. He was in Rent on Broadway. He was in the movie. He's had, you know, mild success, but now he's in the new Star Trek show. So, this would not be blown up to the extent of it is. Kevin Spacey probably wouldn't have even addressed it. He would have said, you know what, I don't know what he's talking about, and it would have been that. But because it's a hot button, and this is everybody's torch for right now, like I said, in a few years it's going to be something else. This just would not be the hot button. But I will let you also know what is very disappointing is the hypocrisy in the LGBT community. We all knew about him. We knew about his sexuality. The minute this happened, we crucified him. And for right, he should not have mixed the idea of being a pedophile with the idea of being gay, because all that does is tell people that don't understand the LGBT community is that we're all perverts and we have sex with boys. That's all that that did. Using that as to come out as gay. So that's deplorable. But I can't even tell you how vicious and how delightful we have been to tear him down and to expose him. And like I said, I don't think it's anybody's job to out somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many issues in your own personal life as well as your career. And I'm sorry, if somebody's going to offer me a $10 million career so I can take care of myself and my family and the community, and I don't mean the LGBT community, I mean the community at large, my sexuality is not my number one priority at that point. And I know a lot of people in my community disagree. They're like, if you're gay, you have to be gay. You have to be gay, out, and proud 1,000% every day. And yes, I think that you have an obligation to your community, but that shouldn't be your number one priority. And if it's not your time to come out, and if you're enjoying a success in Hollywood, then, you know, wait your time. Because you could be a bigger effect in the Hollywood community being a huge A-lister, and 20 years later saying, like Ian McKellen, he's a huge A-lister, and he's gay. He came out at the right time. But what I was going to say about the viciousness of the community is people are like, oh, can you believe that disgusting guy? Oh, my God, he's such a pervert. And, oh, young guys, these are the same entertainment people that I hang out with, that we go to West Hollywood, and they're grabbing the go-go boys, who are half-naked, by the way. They're grabbing other boys at the bar. They're flirting with the bartenders. They're making advances towards the bartenders. This is the same energy that's unfortunately a huge part of the LGBT community. We are, we don't have manners.
Well, you know, something that I kind of feel like I want to make, I mean, it's unfortunate, but something I would like to make clear to my listeners that are not part of the entertainment industry, no matter how wrong it is, and I'm going to say this up front, no matter how wrong it is, in this business, sex is a power tool.
Yes.
It really is. Now, just because I disagree with it, I'm not fool enough to say, well, I'm just not going to be a part of that industry. I'm just not going to partake in some of the things that I could partake in being a part of this industry, but it's not going to turn me totally against it. So when you hear myself or when you hear Alexander talk about how, you know, that's just the way it is, there's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing Alexander can do about that. It's not like either one of us is condoning the way this industry is. It's just the fact we understand the way this industry is. And before I got here, and long after I leave, before Alexander got here, long after he leaves. Sex is going to be a power tool in this industry. And as much as we can sit here and say that people like Kevin Spacey are wrong or people like Harvey Weinstein are wrong, as many of us that feel like that is wrong, there is always going to be a handful of people that want to advance their own career or want to advance their own agenda, and they are going to feed into those predators. Now, as I said last week, the thing about it is what they're not understanding is for a sexual predator, it's as much about the sex as it is the hunt. Mm-hmm. If you look at and go and educate yourself on Netflix, if you don't believe me, what I'm about to say, if you go out into the jungles and you see a lion, if the lion sees a dead animal, more often than not, he's not even going to mess with it because it's also the thrill of the hunt. So even though there are these handful of people that are really about, because they are there, they can also feed the ego of whoever this person is. So if you get somebody that is willingly taking these advances, someone that is in the mindset of a sexual predator, in my opinion, they are going to get confidence from that, and that's going to fuel them to go and try and get somebody that they can't have, which almost in a sense is kind of a bad thing. You know, it's kind of like fueling a fire, so to speak. So no matter how
100%. And also, groping somebody is not raping somebody.
No, it's not. It's harassing somebody. I believe it's harassing somebody. But it's not. No, I wouldn't call. I have to think about this before I say it, because
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, see, okay. Oh boy, this is one of these times where I feel like I'm getting into a double standard, because I feel like if a guy is groped, I don't see it as being rape. If a female is, okay, I can say what I want to on my show. If a female is groped underneath her, if a female is groped underneath her skirt, more often than not, it's possible for a man to penetrate her body with his fingers. So I consider that rape. If a guy is groped, he's having his genitals grabbed. I don't consider that rape. I consider that sexual harassment. Now, I understand the absolute double standard in what I just said. I really do. But unfortunately, that's just where I have to honestly leave my opinion. I think it's worse to... I'm so sorry to say this, but I think it's worse to sexually harass a woman than it is to sexually harass a man. I think it's wrong to sexually harass a man. But I absolutely think it is less... then I think it's wrong to sexually harass a woman more than a man. If I'm right for saying that, great. If I'm wrong for saying that, I guess I'm just going to have to be wrong. But that's just I feel.
I mean, that is your opinion. And, I mean, just change sexually harass to hit. Is it okay to hit a man, but it's not okay to hit a woman? I think it's the same. And you're talking about somebody groping a woman and being able to penetrate. Well, I mean... There's underwear there, there's that, and grabbing a man's genitals, I mean, that's pretty intense, but again, we're not talking about rape.
It is.
And a lot of the allegations against Kevin Spacey, and even, although there's a lot of rape allegations that are now coming against Harvey Weinstein, so I don't want to get the two mixed up. Yeah. The allegations against Kevin Spacey, and I went through them in preparation for today's chat with you, Mm-hmm. All of them were like, oh, I went over to his house to ask for advice, or I was driving with him to the set, or I was in this position, or I went to a party where that he was hosting that he was drinking at. Number one, a lot of it had drinking involved, but it was the person going to Kevin Spacey. And you don't go into somebody's dressing room by yourself. You don't go to somebody's party, which you know is what's happening. There are a few directors in Hollywood, Jay Lewis, that I could tell you, if I was invited to their house, I knew exactly what was going to be going on in some bedrooms. And that's not gay or straight. That's, you know what's going to be happening at certain mm-hmm. people's parties, which I will not name names, but you just know.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
So a lot of these yeah. people, like you said, put themselves in this position, and then now they're saying, oh, God, I never wanted that. Well, then you don't go to their house, or you hear things, and you just don't get involved with them. You don't spend time with them on their own. And it's I love what you said earlier. It's like, you know, we can't really do anything. Of course, if we hear of somebody being raped or whatever, then we're going to help, or we're going to listen and tell that person to address the situation and get control over it. But it's just like the drug problem in Hollywood. I can't tell you how many times I've been surprised that somebody I thought I knew at a party will pull out, a plate of cocaine.
Yeah, and right. Drugs, yeah.
And drugs is such a huge problem in Hollywood. Or is it a problem? People do it. They carry on their day. They make their movies. They do their deals. But parties, drugs is a huge problem. And just like you said, I don't do drugs myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't really
either.
Condone drug use, but I can't stop if an A-lister is going to pull out a plate of cocaine and do it. Am I going to run and tell somebody? That's their business. Is it hurting me? Not really. It's just a beast in the entertainment industry, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I mean, as much as, you know, I had a conversation with one person in particular, and she was saying, see, that's why I left Hollywood, because there's too much bullshit going on. All that sex and drugs going on, I just couldn't deal with it. I mean, okay, to an extent, do I understand where you're coming from? Yeah, I guess I do, but, you know, I'm part of this industry just like anybody else is. So there are things that I have seen that I would never do. There are places that I have gone that I said, there's no way in hell I'm going there again. There's been places I've been invited to, and I've known ahead of time what was going to be going down there.
Exactly.
And I said, you know what? I can't. I'm sorry. I got something else to do tonight. I can't go. I wouldn't necessarily, the instance I'm talking about, I couldn't really tell the person no, because, I mean, I'm still trying to have a career in this town.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to piss anybody off. So I just made it seem as though there was, I hope to God they're not listening to my show right now, but I tried to make it seem like there was somewhere else, something else that I had to do. But yeah, you know, you know, when you get invited to a certain poker game, you kind of understand what's going to go down at the poker game. So if you really don't want to go, and advancing my career wasn't that important, it wasn't at that time, and it's not at this time. But it's just a part of this industry. It's just it's just a part of it, you know. Just like donuts are a part of law enforcement, sex and drugs are a part of this are a part of our industry. Nobody,
well,
there's
also,
not going to be. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. And look at our industry. People Magazine, the highest rated issues that they sell are is if they have a major star dies or it's the sexiest men alive or sexiest women alive.
Mm-hmm.
We're already sexualizing the whole industry. You know, women have to appear topless in almost every movie, whereas men really don't. Instagram is a huge thing. I have friends that are huge Instagram stars for doing nothing but showing almost all their body parts. We are, the entertainment industry, like you said, is highly sexualized, and we honor that. We're like, oh, yeah. Matt Damon is so sexy. Every title that he's in a magazine says sexy, sexy, sexy. And like I said, mm-hmm. People Magazine, which is the most tame magazine out there right now, their issues are sexiest men alive. I mean, that's, it's just, we are just sexual beings, and we know. To be an overweight or unattractive actor in Hollywood is an uphill battle, whereas some people, and we can even see from talent, it's not as an uphill battle, and who knows what they've had to do to get there.
Because Hollywood is the way it is, how we've been talking about for the last several minutes, how much real responsibility, in your opinion, from the gay community as well as from the opinion of a performer in this town, how much responsibility would you say Hollywood needs to accept for the goings-on of Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein? And I'm asking about both of them, but I'm not putting them. They both are in trouble for, in my opinion, completely two separate things. So you know what? I won't even put them in the same class. We won't even put Harvey Weinstein in this. How much responsibility would you say Hollywood itself has on Kevin Spacey and the way he is?
Well, I mean, that's such a touchy issue. And what I asked somebody today is like, okay, so somebody sexually harasses you on the set. What should their punishment be? Is it to have them fired from the movie and then the whole movie suffers? I just don't think we know what the solution is. So it's almost like saying, you know, we have Hollywood to blame for violence because we see violence in the movies all the time. I just don't know what the solution is. What can we do other than our own personal basis if we see something that's if we see a fellow co-star harass somebody on set, we go over and say, knock that off, or we encourage somebody that we've heard that has been a victim to tell their story. I don't know what the solution is, and I really don't know what the punishment should be for somebody that gropes somebody on set. You know, you've been on my show. We drink on the radio show. I have hot guys from music, TV, whatever. I'm a huge flirt. That's just what I do. Have I ever touched anybody inappropriately? No. But have I ever said, hey, you know, or texted and flirted? Yeah. So I just don't know what the punishment is or how we create a solution to this issue.
I
think now it's a hot button, and we're not going to hear, because now everybody's on their best behavior.
Yes,
so
they are.
I think in 10 years, it might rear its ugly head again, and it's going to be deeper and darker, unfortunately. But like you said, this is the nature of business. And you know, it happens in corporate America, too. It's not just Hollywood, where this, you know, men and women, some women in power, take advantage. And, you know, sex, we're all animalistic by nature. Humans love to have sex. And so people in power abuse that power. But it's not just Hollywood. It's anybody in power. And I just don't know. Like I said, Hollywood doesn't have an HR department. So
that was kind of why I actually, and you know, you are right. It is in other places other than Hollywood, and you know that is kind of why I said it's used as a power tool. But my solution, and look, I have been one of those people that has said, if you really want to stop crime, you make the punishment so extreme. I don't care if somebody shoplifts. I don't care if somebody steals a car. Hey, death sentence. That's it. No pass and go. No $200. And people would say, oh, well, that's too extreme. Do you want it to stop? So get extreme. So for if somebody came to me, if our SAG president, Gabrielle, I can never pronounce her last name,
Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah. If she came to me and said, Jay Lewis, give me one idea and I'll go with your idea. Okay, here's my idea. You get in trouble for sexual harassment. You get in trouble. You get in trouble for anything on set and you have to be fired. Then we get to sue you for however much money it cost us to go back and have to reshoot your scenes, or if we're going to lose money because you were attached to this thing and now you're not anymore. I think it should be possible to be able to take. Now, will you be able to get that money? More often than not, no. But no. Mm-hmm. if that actor keeps working, then at least a portion of their paycheck will go to your studio. So I think that if someone gets fired from a TV show or from a film for any type of inappropriate behavior, they should be allowed by the studio or the network to sue that person for damages. That's what I think. If that were to be a real thing in some way, shape, or form, I'm pretty sure a lot of this would get cut out. I'm pretty sure a lot of these actors who come to work drunk, high, that do the sexual harassment, I'm pretty sure a lot will get cleaned up. Because when you go into a person's pocket and take their money, we already have to pay agents, we already have to pay publicists, we already have to pay for everything else that we have, SAG dues, you already have to pay so much anyway. You try suing an actor for millions of dollars and see if that doesn't work or not. So that's what I think should happen.
Here's another interesting thing, and I also had this conversation today. I mean, like I said, people are just talking about this still on a daily basis. If a Hollywood producer came up to you and said, hey, I need you to perform this sexual act, but you're going to be an A-list celebrity, and you're going to be making $10 million on your next film. You know, as much as I think this is a terrible thing, and as much as I think it's deplorable and would speak against sexual harassment, it's a little different when you're presented the opportunity. And I'll tell you, Jay Lewis, the industry, and you know, it's a struggle. Every day is a struggle, from your auditioning to keeping on top of social media to working with your agent to everything. If somebody had a golden ticket and you had to suffer an evening or a moment, I don't know that I'd be strong enough to say, you know what, this stands, I'm against this morally, and I'm going to give all that up just to morally support no harassment in the industry. And that's the honest truth.
How many times with your friends, and we've all played this game, you, me, my listeners, how many times have you played this game with your friends? Would you do such and such for $2 million? Would you do such and such for $3 million? So, yeah, you're absolutely right. That is absolutely a part of our culture. Now, if a producer walked up to me, Jay Lewis, and said, I need you to do this sexual act, you'll be an A-lister, you'll get $10 million, all this, that, and the other, my very first question is, well, who are you talking about?
Yeah.
Who do I have to do that? Who are you talking about doing an act with? Because if you're talking about you and you're a guy, no, I'm good. If you're talking about your wife, you know, we can probably talk about that, you know?
But, Jay Lewis, if, let's say, God forbid, everything was taken away from you and you could be in the next Steven Spielberg film, I guarantee you, you would take a moment and think, and you know, we can't know until we're in that position, but some people are just literally at their dire's end, and, you know, you can say right now, you know, I would never fool around with a guy for money, but if it means
why I'm telling you right now I wouldn't do it? Because if the opportunity was there, I wouldn't know. If there would be any cameras anywhere, I wouldn't know if after I became that A-lister, you're coming to me with these videos and you're going to blackmail me. So,
well, that's very true in today's technology, especially.
And that's how I think. So that's how I know it's something that I wouldn't do, because I feel like if you put somebody in a position like that, and you're that type of person to put somebody in a position like that, you are also that type of person to record
this
whole situation as your little insurance. So, you're getting what you're getting now, but down the line when you need some money, you can go into the vault and you can get the tapes of you and Jay Lewis doing whatever, and you can bring those to Jay Lewis after Jay Lewis has made a very big success himself and say, look, I read in Forbes magazine you're worth $200 million. Let me go ahead and get like $75 million about you, and we can call this a deal. I think too much, too far, big picture. And when I was learning how to play dominoes, the two people that taught me how to play the game dominoes, they taught me all money is not good money. And I have taken that thought pattern and I have put it in other contexts of life. So that scenario right there, as much as it would be good for my ego as an actor, it wouldn't be good for me as a person, because I would always be looking over my shoulder. And even if that person passed away, I wouldn't know if they gave somebody else instructions. Mm-hmm. This is where the video is. You're going to be set for life. So I'm too paranoid. So I can honestly say that's something I wouldn't do if it was a guy. Now, like I said, if it was somebody's wife, I'm not saying that you know, that's what I do anymore. I'm just saying if that would be a more acceptable, if it were right. someone of another gender, it would be more acceptable than if it was someone of the same gender. Yeah, if it was someone of the other gender, I would think of it, sure. Yeah, I would. So you're right. You know, if it is somebody, like if it was someone that Kevin Spacey were to have walked up to, and if he would have said, if you sleep with me for one night, I can change your life. I'm executive producing this show. I can get you on here, yonder, there. If he walked up to someone in that community, I could absolutely see how it would be almost be like if Oprah walked up to me.
Yeah,
you might, at the end of the day, you might be like, oh, Lord, what did I just do? But you're still going to reap the benefits from it. So I can't necessarily say that I would fault anyone that went along with something like that. But see, the key in that is you went along with it.
Right. That's, and I think, you know, we have it's a hot button right now, and we have our big name victims that are taking the blade for all of Hollywood. This is not a new issue. It's not an issue that's going to be going away. It's going to die down, and people are going to be very careful for a little bit. But this is the hypocrisy. Hollywood is acting all outraged and all surprised. It's no surprise. And, you know, it's happened on every single set in every single office on some level or another. Mm-hmm. And that's just the truth. And, you know, we have people that are paying the price. Thank goodness, because it is bringing awareness and light. But, you know, Hollywood's acting a little hypocritical right now.
I have to agree. And I brought this up with Amy last week when we were talking about Harvey. And I was like, you know, there's some people that are coming out of the woodwork talking about how surprised they are. When, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I know how close friends they were to Harvey Weinstein, and to try and, because it's known that you were one of his, that he was a mentor of yours, or that he was someone that started your career, and you actually got out and spoke nicely about him before, now you want to come back and retract it. That was one of the things that I thought was wrong. But I'll tell you this, and I mean, this might be kind of self-centered. It really made me feel a little bit better. Now, I didn't sexually assault anybody. I didn't do anything illegal. But when Heartbeat did stop, some of the people, whether they were working with me or they were told me they were friends of mine, once Heartbeat did stop, several people did turn their back on me and forget who I was. So I have to be a little honest when I say it was a little comforting to see people that were close to Harvey Weinstein and close to Kevin Spacey turn their back on them, on those two individuals. And when I say it was comforting, I mean, that's just another way this business is. As you said earlier, when you have something going on and people can get something from you, they're going to be the nicest they can, or they're going to work for you, or they're going to answer your telephone call before it gets to the third ring. But once your television show gets canceled, or once you end up in some type of controversy, you may as well start getting used to sending emails that don't get answered and start listening to voicemail, because that's just the way it happens in this town.
Exactly. And, you know, look at Kathy Griffin. She was under fire for doing that image of Trump, and her bestie Anderson Cooper dumps her like a hot potato.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awful, but that is the industry, and I hate to say it. You know, you and I book for our radio show. I get pitched by PR reps on a daily basis. The first thing I do is look up social media following, what they're doing now, and I'm sorry, just it's the nature of the beast. If it's not somebody that's hot right now, I just can't place them on the show, and that's a horrible thing, but that's, there it is.
But I mean, it's just, but you know, as far as that goes too, because I'm kind of going through a situation like that now. When you know what your listeners want to hear, you know what your listeners want to listen to, you're not going to do somebody the homie hookup and have somebody on your show that is not going to be appealing to your listeners.
Right.
You know, so, you know, yeah, that is a part of it. And listeners only want to hear from people that are relevant. Yeah. I mean, I don't even want to really talk to anybody that's irrelevant to a degree. I don't want to hear from anybody that's irrelevant. When I say irrelevant, I mean someone that doesn't really have a message, someone that doesn't really have a point, someone that's not doing something, someone that's not inspiring or motivating. You're just fucking there, dude. For what? So, yeah,
well,
I get it.
It's funny. I wonder how David Letterman feels. I'm sure when he picks up the phone now, it's a little different than if he were picking up the phone 5 years ago when he had a show on TV.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he picks up the phone now. Like, you know, I'm only picking this up because I feel like it. I don't need to talk to you, and I don't give a fuck who you are. I don't even know who you are, and I'm saying this to you. I think that's how he picks up the phone.
Well, no, but I mean, in the reverse, I'm sure, you know, oh, David Letterman's on the phone. Oh, God, yes, because we want to be on his show. Now he has no show.
Oh, and people, okay.
And I'm sure people are like, whatever, he can wait.
Okay, yes, I see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Rodriguez, we made it through a show, and I got to tell you, that was a pretty cool conversation. Thank you very kindly for it.
That time went by so quickly. I am so congratulatory towards you. I'm so proud of your show, and
thank you.
I think it's such a great idea because you do have a lot of opinions, and I'm so happy it's becoming a success for you.
Thank you. Thank you. What do you have? We're coming to the end of the year. What's going on for the rest of 2017, and what do you have coming up for your 2018?
I have a few exciting projects in the works. I'm going to be starting, fingers crossed, a new version of a talk show on network TV, and I'm working on some other projects in addition to the radio show. So you know how it is. It's that hustle, hustle, hustle.
Yes, definitely. What are you doing for New Year's Eve? Do you have any plans yet?
I have no plans yet. I can't even believe Thanksgiving is next week.
Wait, it's next week?
Yeah, can you believe it? Where did this year go?
Wow. Okay. Wow, yeah. I thought Thanksgiving was at least 2 weeks away, but all right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you letting me know that. I don't know what I'm going to do for Thanksgiving yet, but I'm sure I'll figure something out. But all right, thank you know, people, we've come to the end. This has been another great conversation I was able to have with a friend. And again, I had this conversation with Alexander, you know, just because of the person he is in his community, as well as the personality he is on the radio and through social media. I definitely invite you to look up On the Rocks. I definitely invite you to give everybody where they can find you, Alexander.
The easiest is just ontherocksradioshow.com. It has links to my Facebook, Instagram, and whatever syndicate is easiest to listen to the show.
Okay. And next week, everybody, it looks like we're going to end the Hollywood Controversy series. We might do two more shows, but I know next week, you know, I heard from an actor last week, a producer, a writer. I heard from a radio personality and a performer this week. Next week, we are going to hear from a director, a film director, not a TV director. Or maybe it might be a TV director. I've got a couple of people in mind, so we'll just see what happens there. I hope you all have a great week. I look forward to you coming back next week. If you have missed any of my shows, just go to bbsradio.com/onthelevel. Check out the archive. You'll be able to, you can now check out the video from my show with Amy last week. If you have any emails, any questions, you want to email me, jlewis.mills@outlook.com. Find me on all of my social media, just J. Lewis Mills. I thank you all for joining me. Look forward to next week. Have a good week. We are out. Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.